Since 1986, Father Greg Boyle has been engaging the gangs of East Los Angeles with the gospel. Every day he goes into the danger zone, connecting with young men and women who have long arrest and prison records. He shares the good news of Jesus with them and calls them to break with the wicked life they've known and trust Jesus Christ for salvation. The message is simple, and it's real. You can have a future or a funeral. Jesus will forgive your sins and give you a hope and a future. To date, over 1,500 ex-gang members have trusted Jesus Christ and taken steps in a new direction with the guidance and help of Father Greg. They have to learn a new language, buy new clothes, and learn how to make an honest day's wage and leave the gang. And it's not because Boyle waters down the gospel. In fact, he makes it plain that Jesus is calling them to break all the destructive, sin-inducing ties to their former life. The Bible says that a true Christian undergoes a metamorphosis, a change of nature that imprints Jesus Christ's character on your inner being. The speed of this internal overhaul, which is often called sanctification, varies from person to person, of course, but the change shows itself in your behavior on the outside. The evidence that we are truly born again is demonstrated in the most obvious and irrefutable way, in what we do and in what we don't do. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33 and the second part of verse 34 says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, I can hide my true identity for a while, but eventually I will let out what's really inside. I can play for a while and I can hide it, but what's really inside will eventually come out. Because I can't keep doing it forever. I mean, there is an entire book of the Bible that proclaims that if you are truly a believer, it will show in your behavior. 1 John is the book. And 1 John records 11 evidences that a person is born again. Just a couple, for example. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3 says, now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. 1 John 2, 3. 1 John chapter 2, the second part of verse 5 and verse 6, by this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. In chapter 3 and verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in them, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. And there's another 8 besides these throughout that book of evidences that a person is born again. In this series of messages on a new life, we've seen the need for an inside-out change to occur in each person. We've also looked at what we are being changed into. And last time, we saw the inner power that produces lasting life change. Today, we'll take a moment and consider how to plug into that power. So let's just take a walk through Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24, if you turn there. And we'll highlight 4 principles for change. 4 principles for change. The first one is keep your eye on the target. Keep your eye on the target. Look at verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. See, Paul clearly tells us what the target is. And that target is Christ-likeness. That we should become like Christ. That's the target. And he's pretty blunt about it. He says, you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. You're becoming Christ-like. Yes, stop walking like that. You stop walking like the rest of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles refer to those who are outside of the community of God. They were the ones who are outside of the Jewish population. And so they represent, with regard to the church, they represent those who are unbelievers, those who are part of the lost world. And so, referring to that, so what the apostle is saying is that as a Christian, your life should no longer resemble those who are still in their sin. When you become a Christian, your life should be totally different from those who are not Christians. It shouldn't look the same at all. There should be nothing that confuses you with them. Verses 18 and 19 there that we just looked at describe what unbelievers look like. Let's look at it again. It says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling has given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. I mean, what a picture. When you stop and take a look at that, it reveals an inability to perceive and respond to the truth. It's an absolute inability and a lack of a capacity to even understand what truth is or even to act upon it. Without God, our thinking is of no real value. It says the futility of their minds. We live to satisfy our flesh. It says lewdness, which is a sexual term, a term of sexual immorality, with a continual desire for more. It says all uncleanness with greediness. And Paul, after he describes the one who's not with Christ in this way, as just totally absorbed in satisfying the lust of the flesh, of self-gratifying, he then proclaims, that's not the way that you learn Jesus Christ. That's not the way you learn Jesus Christ. Keep your eye on the target. Becoming like Jesus Christ is your calling. If you claim Jesus Christ as your Savior, becoming like Him is your calling. It's your purpose for breathing. It's your reason for living. It's all about Jesus. Everything else in this life is secondary to Jesus Christ. Absolutely everything else. So keep your eye on the target. Secondly, cut ties to your former life. Strong words. Cut ties to your former life. Look at verses 21 and 22. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. That phrase, put off, describes a decisive action, not a gradual process. It's not negotiation, it's the end. It's not we're working through a process, this is what needs to happen. And the verb literally means, it says to put off, the verb literally means to strip something off. The same way that you would take off clothing that's become filthy and dirty. That you strip off everything that has to do with that old life. that's dirty and filthy. What is removed and laid aside, Paul says, is the old man. The old man is the you that you were before you came to Jesus Christ. That's what the old man is. It's the you that you were before you came to Jesus Christ, and that you needs to be taken off and laid aside. Paul's saying, get rid of those old ways of meeting your needs. Those old habits that marked your former life. Throw that life away. Get rid of that life. Cut the root of it. And don't go to those websites anymore. Throw away those magazines and don't buy anymore. Don't hang out with those people that keep you doing things that you know are wrong. There are people who were part of your old life, who are still in your life, and your association with them is a negative, has a negative impact on your walk with Jesus Christ. God's Word says to cut those ties. Don't continue to walk with them. Don't continue to associate with them. Those old ways are dead to you now as believers. So get rid of every trace. Get rid of every trace. One of the greatest theologians in the history of Christianity is Augustine. We hear of him as St. Augustine. But Augustine, he was saved out of an absolutely, completely immoral lifestyle. Before his conversion, he had a mistress named Claudia. Shortly after he found Jesus Christ, Claudia saw him on the street in the city. And she cried out to him, "Augustine, Augustine!" And Augustine paid no attention to her. Just kept walking. She cried out, "Augustine, Augustine, it's me, Claudia." And Augustine replied, "But it's no longer Augustine." And he kept on walking. That's the radical change that Jesus Christ wants in every one of his followers. That anything in our former life that leads us, that tempts us into sin, that brings us into a lifestyle that's contrary to our calling in Christ, he wants us to strip that away. He wants us to cut ties to that. And that's what Paul's talking about, is that kind of cutting it off, that part of my life is no longer part of my life. Remember those gang members that I mentioned who were rescued by Jesus in Los Angeles? Well, Father Greg told each one of them that the gang tattoos had to go. They weren't kept as reminders. They had to go. They had to go. And why? Gang tattoos link them to a past that no longer defines them and can put them in serious danger on the streets. And so he created a free service with some local doctors to remove them, thereby scrubbing their bodies of the last remaining marks of their rebel past. And it's not an easy procedure. They're creating new ways to do it with laser. But many of those tough former gang members said it felt like hot grease was being poured into their skin. And yet they were willing to endure the pain in order to identify with Jesus Christ. Listen, it may cause you pain to break ties with old friends that are ruining your faith, your walk with Jesus. It may bother you to stop doing some things that give you temporary pleasure. But if you're to have lasting life change, there can be no more double life. No more standing on the fence. You need to make a decision right now to cut all ties that link you to things that are not Christ-like. That's how radical the life with Jesus we're called to have. If we're going to walk worthy of the calling, as verse 1 says. So, keep your eye on the target. Cut ties to your former life. And then number 3, change your way of thinking. Look at verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And listen, that statement is in the present tense. That means that it's an ongoing, increasing change in the capacity of your mind to spiritually discern the options and the decisions of life. Being renewed in the spirit of your mind means a completely new way of thinking. No longer thinking the way you used to think. That's what Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 is all about, isn't it? Romans 12 verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, mind renewal activates a kind of early warning system, a kind of spiritual filter that stopping the temptation that used to fly under the radar into your life and get to you. And how does that work? Well, Psalm 119, verse 11, we learned it in Sunday school. We learn it in VBS. Psalm 119, verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart. What's the rest of it? That I might not sin against you. That's how it works. We take God's word and we put it in our heart, and that begins the process of changing our mind, changing the thought process of the way we think. Writer Leroy Imes told of how God's word worked in his life. As a new Christian, he was reading Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8, which says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Leroy said, I tried to slide past it, but he kept bringing it back to me. Kept reminding me of the words, get rid of anger. I had a violent temper. Whenever it flared, I'd haul up and bash my fist into the nearest door. Even though I often bloodied my knuckles and once completely smashed a beautiful diamond and onyx ring my wife had given me, I couldn't seem to stop. Yet here was God's word, get rid of anger. So I made a covenant with God. I promised Him I was going to work on it. My first step was to memorize the verse and review it daily. I prayed and asked the Lord to bring this verse to mind whenever I might be tempted to lose my temper. And I asked my wife to pray for me and remind me of this verse if she saw me failing in my promise to God. So Colossians 3:8 became a part of my life and gradually removed that sin from me. Amen. So keep your eye on the target. Cut ties to your former life. Change your way of thinking. And number 4, put on the new you. Put on the new you. Look at verse 24. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, back in verse 22, we were urged to get rid of the clothes of our former way of life. Now the Holy Spirit instructs us to put on something brand new. Something that was made by God Himself, the likeness of Jesus Christ. Righteousness and holiness. Galatians 2:20. You know Galatians 2:20. Says it in essence. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, it's Christ's life that should be obvious in how you do your job, how you treat your spouse, how you live out being single, how you parent your children, how you respond, what you think, even how you feel will find its focus in your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is who you are from now on. Your identity, it's a completely new nature when you give your life to Jesus Christ. Someone wrote that means you must not give sin a vote in your life. You must not give sin a vote in the way that you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands for sin that are connected with that old way of life. Throw away everything and throw yourself wholeheartedly and full time into Jesus Christ. Remember, you've been saved from the dead. You've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live and shouldn't be able to. You're not living under that control anymore in Jesus Christ. You're living in the freedom of God in Jesus Christ. So put on that new self. Because you see, one day it will be all over. One day it will be all over and be able to say, well, I will be like Him because I will see Him as He is. Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's late wife, Ruth Graham, she saw a sign along a strip of highway and she said she wanted it, what it said on that sign, carved into her gravestone. It was a sign along the highway. You know what it was? We see these signs all the time. It says, end of construction. Thank you for your patience. In the meantime, this work in progress needs intentional, deliberate focus on the target of becoming like Jesus. That means stripping away this world from your life. It means having your mind renewed by God's Word. And it means purposely living out your new identity in Jesus Christ. On purpose. Well, let me call you to a commitment this morning. A commitment to living according to your new identity in Jesus Christ.